This podcast may contain adult language and situations, graphic, gory details, and other not so nice things. Listener discretion is advised. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lacey, and this is United States of Murder. This week, we're in Connecticut discussing a case that shocked a small seaside town.
Then we'll talk about the mysterious death of a YouTuber. Buckle up and join us on this dark and twisted ride through the Constitution State.
On March 3rd, 2010, 18-year-old Madison Hamburg was at a Chick-fil-A with friends when his sister Allie called. His phone was broken at the time and he couldn't answer. She talked to one of his friends that he was there with, and she said she really needed to talk to him. He thought, oh God, you know, she must be in trouble or something. So he called her back on a friend's phone, and Allie was crying. She told him, Mom's dead. Someone killed her.
What?
Can you imagine just getting that as a phone call? Well, he was stunned, and he didn't believe her. He even said, this isn't funny. Put someone else on the phone. She's not dead.
I feel like that's a natural reaction.
Mm-hmm.
We talked in the past episode about me having a death in my family. My nephew, who was in his 30s, passed away very tragically. And my sister called and told me.
Mm.
And I didn't believe her. So, I mean, I get that that's your reaction.
Yeah.
That's not true. You're in denial.
You've misheard.
Right.
Someone didn't relay info right.
Right.
Or, yes,
why would you 100%. Say that? What makes you think that?
Mm-hmm.
And then even still, you're going, no.
Right. That's what he was hoping, but it turns out she was telling the truth. Their mom, Barbara Beach Hamburg's body was discovered that day by Allie and Conway Beach, which was Barbara's sister. And she was under a pile of lawn furniture cushions outside her home.
Found her in the yard?
Mm-hmm. 48-year-old Barbara had been stabbed and bludgeoned to death outside of her home in Madison on Middle Beach Road in broad daylight at 11:25 a.m. So sometime that morning, outside, broad daylight. Her case went cold, but a few years later, Madison, who was a film student, decided to create a docuseries to discover his mom's murderer. And this started out as a college project, but ended up on HBO in 2020.
What's the name of this?
Murder on Middle Beach.
I'm putting this in my notes.
It's a 4-part docuseries, and I watched it when it first came out. Of course, it was 4 years ago, so I had to do a lot of research
right.
still to remember everything. But I definitely recommend it. I don't want to spoil anything. I guess you'll know what happens toward the end, but it's really good. So in the doc, he tries to investigate her murder and find her killer after a decade. And he looks for answers within his own fractured family. Madison himself was recovering from a drug addiction while dealing with the loss of his mom. It delves into potential suspects, including several of his own family members and his father, Jeffrey Hamburg. So Barbara met Jeffrey Hamburg, and he swept her off her feet. At the time, he was a multimillionaire CEO of Southern Electric International. So I'd be swept off my feet too.
Girl.
Say no more.
Listen.
They got married in 1989, and soon after, they had a son, Madison, and a daughter, Allie. Their relationship went downhill after Jeffrey got fired for alleged unethical activity. So his former company accused him of making an illegal deal out of the country, and he in turn took them to court and successfully sued them for
defamation.
He won millions in the lawsuit, but Jeffrey began traveling more and more, and Barbara was pretty much raising the kids completely by herself. He was never home, so she filed for divorce in 2002, and it was not cordial at all. In the following years, they regularly appeared in court together. She alleged that he failed to make alimony and child support payments. He argued that she was behind on mortgage payments for their property,
Well, she don't have no money. Pay her.
Yeah. Well, at the time of the death, she had primary custody of both kids, and she's saying he's not giving her any money for that. Jeffrey claimed he had been broke for years, but he was also living a lavish lifestyle, like he lived overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very strange. In the months leading up to Barbara's death, he had been complaining that he couldn't afford alimony and child support. He also stole nearly $100,000 from his children's trust accounts.
Oh, what a dirty dog.
Yeah. On March 3rd, 2010, they were actually scheduled to appear in court together at 9:30 a.m. But after talking with one of Barbara's friends, Madison discovered that an unknown person called Barbara and told her that the court time had been changed to that afternoon. And so, of course, she was at home that morning. She had no reason to leave yet. And the wild thing is Madison doesn't even think the police knew about that, because the documentary shows him discovering that.
Oh.
So did the person that called plan her death?
Sounds like it, because she wouldn't have been home. She would have been in court.
And it wasn't her husband. She just said someone called, or her ex-husband, someone called and told her. So she was just assuming it was someone from court.
Sure. Well, you don't ask when someone calls, could you give me your badge number?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm like,
oh, okay, it's moved to this afternoon.
Yeah.
Cool, whatever. So Jeffrey allegedly owed $153,000 to Barbara and $324,000 to his kids at that point. That is a lot of money.
I wonder how he, maybe that's what this court date was about, because he was about to go to jail.
He was.
Yeah.
He actually was. And he had been ordered to make the payments at this hearing. And if he didn't, he was going to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So no one had a better motive than Jeffrey.
I was going to say.
But of course, we know Barbara never showed up for the court date. And that's the same day her body was discovered. So very weird. So of course, he's the obvious suspect. Mm-hmm. And Madison said he never witnessed his dad as a violent person, but he said he was controlling, manipulative, and selfish. And of course, we know he's sleazy from stealing that much money from his kids' trust. So the police did question him after the murder, and he was never formally charged with a crime. Early on, he was acknowledged, of course, as a suspect, or as a person of interest, so not a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
He supplied police with a DNA sample, and it didn't match.
Just because he didn't pull the trigger, quote unquote, doesn't mean he wasn't involved.
Exactly. In a conversation Madison had with police, in which he secretly recorded without their consent, and it's included in the documentary, this is what I would be doing if I were an investigator, just breaking rules, like, oh, I can't record
you guys. I had no idea.
So investigators revealed that they allegedly found DNA under Barbara's fingernails that was of quote-unquote male Hamburg lineage. So a specific place in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeffrey's DNA did not match that. And they told Madison that in theory, Jeffrey could be eliminated as a person of interest if he agreed to talk to them about his whereabouts that day, but he wasn't cooperative. And he wasn't cooperative with the documentary either. I'm like, y'all are the police. You can't make him talk to you?
I mean, if he's not been formally charged with
anything. Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, I wouldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's just a person of interest. Mm-hmm. There's nothing even to pin him as a suspect.
I don't have anything to say, and whatever I say can be used against me and twisted and taken out of context. Nope.
He might be sleazy, but he's not dumb.
Right.
So Madison also recorded conversations on the phone with his dad without his dad's knowledge, and he constantly told Madison that he didn't want to speak about Barbara or her murder. He said, I know you want answers, and I know you want to know about your mom and her life and all that stuff. Maybe years ahead we can have this conversation, but not now.
I mean, in his defense, maybe it did hurt him and he didn't want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, maybe he was a skeezy guy, but not a complete
just
asshole.
Just because you're sleazy doesn't necessarily mean you're a murderer.
Right.
And he straight up asked his dad if he had anything to do with the murder. And then Jeffrey immediately said, I'm not going to talk to you about the murder. It's like he kept just wanting him to give him a straight answer, like, no, I didn't do it. But finally he said, I'm not capable of it. I'm not guilty of it. But to me, how he says that doesn't say you're not involved. You know, I'm not capable of it.
Are we sure he's not a lawyer?
He sounds like a lawyer, right?
Right.
I'm just like, but is a hitman guilty of it?
Right. Did you pay someone to do
it? Exactly. So the only thing about a hitman is it's weird that she was violently attacked and bludgeoned to death. You know what I mean?
Unless it was just some Tom, Dick, or Harry he hired.
That's a good point.
At the truck stop,
That's true. Maybe it's someone that didn't know how to be a hitman.
Right.
They just attacked her. Or maybe it didn't go as planned. Maybe she spotted them and they had to use their hands instead of... I wonder what the stats are. Sorry, I should have looked that up, but I'm just thinking about that.
You should Google that later.
Yeah,
let that be on your computer.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. I would
you
be the
Google
worst.
Hitman on your computer, not on my phone.
Oh man. They're like, I'll babysit. I'm like, say less. I'll do. No, I'm joking.
Me? No, I'm kidding.
So Barbara lived in the affluent Stepford Wives-esque community of Madison, Connecticut. It's like exactly what I think of when I think of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's all fancy and expensive and whatever, but it's an upscale area. But some say the picture-perfect place is just a facade and not everything is as what it appears to be.
Nothing is.
For real. It's like it looks nice, but under the surface, he talked to relatives and he discovered his mom was a recovering alcoholic. He didn't even know. He had no idea she was an addict. Not at all. And his grandfather, Sandy Beach.
That's cute.
It is. His grandfather, Sandy, was also famous in the AA world.
It's hereditary.
Yeah. And as I said earlier, Madison had been struggling with drinking and addiction.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of like, wow, my mom was going through this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they had that connection.
Well, that you have a son. That's not something that you want your child to know.
No, I wouldn't either.
Anything that you, hardship that you're going through, you hide that from your
kids. I would
keep
that as secret as possible
for sure.
So his grandfather spoke at national conventions for AA. So even though it's anonymous, he wasn't very anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, AA was like a rite of passage, and he had gone to rehab himself twice. Madison, that is. So Barbara was in recovery at the time of her murder, and AA was actually kind of a source of income for her, which will make sense in a minute. And Madison discovered his family's involvement in the gifting table. This goes down a whole wild rabbit hole. So the gifting table is a multi-level marketing, whatever. So basically, this is a pyramid scheme that emerged during the 2008 recession. Yeah. I had never heard of this before. It started in Connecticut. So basically, it's a pyramid scheme where potential members would gift existing members of the organization money in order to join. Then the new recruit members would recruit others and eventually get payouts. So
for AA?
No. So the AA isn't involved yet, but initial buy-in was like $5,000.
Uh-huh.
So someone would say, hey, join this and pay me $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get a bunch of recruits to do that. And then they get bumped up on the pyramid and they say, now you get people to pay you $5,000. All it was like a pyramid of pay me $5,000.
What's this club doing?
It's so crazy.
Are they like having potlucks? What's happening here?
Oh my gosh. So under leaders like Barbara, these women would liquidate savings accounts, refinance their homes, all of this. And of course, they were all discouraged from telling their husbands about it.
Mm-hmm.
So to summarize it again, because it's really confusing, the new recruits would pay $5,000 cash gifts to the person at the pyramid's top levels, and then the gift would ensure the participants receive a place at the bottom of the pyramid.
So it'd be like you you're at the top and mm-hmm. you're like, hey, come join me, give me $5,000. Mm-hmm. And I did. And then I would recruit like two of our friends. Mm-hmm. And so then they're giving me $10,000.
Mm-hmm. And but you would still be like going up the pyramid. Right. So someone at the top's making money.
And it's trickling down.
Yes, exactly.
It's like everything. It's
a perfect pyramid when you look at the graphs.
It's like that pink drink Plexus Slim shit. It's like all mm-hmm. of these pyramid schemes yeah. that all your friends that you don't talk to anymore from high school.
Hey, girl. DM you emoji, about. Emoji. Hey, how are you?
How are you?
No, immediately no.
Your baby's so cute. You're like, bitch, I haven't talked to you since the seventh grade.
No, I'm like, no, immediately.
No, ma'am.
Block. So the participants had to recruit new women to move up the pyramid, and when 8 new recruits were officially added, the woman at the top walked away with the combined $40,000.
Damn.
Yeah. So then it would begin again.
Uh-huh.
It was just constantly and new pyramid.
And she's talking about her ex being a skeeze for taking money.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but it's like,
it's kind of crazy how people will get trapped into these schemes and tricks. Like, the best people in the world can be like, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong.
And I get a trip to Vegas to a conference.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, no.
There's actually a series on, oh my gosh, I didn't write this down. It's like How to Get Rich in Florida with Kirsten Dunst. It's on Showtime. I'm going to Google it real fast because it's about a pyramid scheme that she gets tricked into, but then she turns the tide and
awful. I had so many friends that bought into this whole Plexus Slim thing mm-hmm. and kept trying to get me to drink this pink drink. I'm like, no. I learned my lesson when I read about Jonestown in the eighth grade. I'm not drinking shit.
It's on Becoming a God in Central Florida. There's only one season of it, but it was really good.
I'm putting this in my notes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's Kirsten Dunst is really good in it. I think it's just one season. Yeah. But it was good. It's worth watching, even though there's one season of it. So anyway, there's pyramids. Lots of pyramids, mm-hmm. lots of money. So the members would hold fancy luncheons and dinner parties where they'd try to recruit new participants. The invitation-only nature of the group lent it an air of exclusivity. And so basically women were thinking, oh, if I get an invite, it was kind of like a socialite situation.
Right.
Rich women in Connecticut trying to convince other people that they could join their social club. And some of the gifting tables used some of the funds for charitable donations. Of course, not all. But Madison's great aunt, Jill Platt, also joined. And so did Barbara's sister, Conway Beach. So Barbara was a top recruiter and brought in a lot of women who she met at AA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This caused a rift between her and some of the other prominent table members. Jill Platt, Barbara's aunt and one of the leaders of the gifting table, told Madison there was a lot of bad mouthing going on about Barbara for quote-unquote preying on women in AA. And mm-hmm. that is very cringy. I'm like, they're already vulnerable and you're coming at them as a friend, but also like, that to me is taking advantage of women in AA.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at that any other way. But 4 months before Barbara's murder, someone in Barbara's network called the Office of Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal to complain about predatory behavior within the organization. So Blumenthal, now a senator, noted in the docuseries that he felt the tables abused women's trust. So his office put out a warning to the public about them being an illegal Ponzi scheme. So Jill told Madison that many in the group were pissed off at Barbara, and they thought she brought in a lot of negative attention. So they kind of blamed her for the organization falling apart. And eventually the Department of Justice concluded that all of the payments were fraudulently characterized as gifts, making the group a tax-dodging scheme. Basically for the top dogs to rake in thousands under the table.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were paying in cash, too. Several of the participants later testified that they didn't make the money they were promised. And one claimed that even though she reached the highest level in 2 tables, she made $0, which she should have made $80,000.
Man, so these are more enemies.
Yeah.
with a possible motive.
Lots of them. Yeah. And also maybe a husband from one of the wives
who took out money. Yep.
Found out about this, like, oh my God, what? Yeah. So before she was murdered, Barbara had worked her way up the pyramid and was on the brink of receiving the $40,000. And so, of course, some people believe that somehow the gifting table is involved in the murder. Like, maybe it's a member that's pissed. Maybe it's an ex-member that's pissed that never got paid. Maybe it's a spouse that blames Barbara for getting their wife involved in this. So that whole thing is a mess. But her sister is also suspicious, Conway. So Conway suffered from alcoholism, addiction, and physical and mental health issues. And she was very jealous toward Barbara and her daughter, Allie. Because of Conway's addiction, she actually lost custody of her own son to Barbara. And after this, she attempted to hire a hitman to kill Barbara.
Oh.
Yeah, because she snapped, she says. Conway said to Madison in the documentary, "My ulterior plan was to get all my money out of my 401k plan and get revenge against my baby sister, your mother, your father, and both of you, even Allie. I was so messed up, I didn't know what to do. I was so angry, my whole family wasn't speaking to me." So Conway took a bag of money to Florida at a shady hotel to meet someone who said they were a hitman. She found him online. While she was waiting, she went to the lobby bar and had a drink. She ended up blacking out and woke up the next morning upstairs on a bed naked and cashless. So basically, she was scammed by an alleged hitman. So she never ended up hiring anyone, or so she says.
Don't Google where to find a hitman. Just come on now.
So that's another person of interest. Just a mess. This case has a lot of persons of interest. So she and Barbara actually ended up making amends, and Conway moved in with her before the murder, but they still had tension because right beforehand, Barbara had asked her to move out. I don't know if she overstayed her welcome or what, but Conway has her own theory about who killed Barbara. Allie, her daughter. I know.
No.
So Allie was in high school at the time. She doesn't have any good evidence, but she said that when they discovered Barbara's body, Allie acted strangely. So this is her evidence that she acted strangely. And she said that Barbara and Allie had a rocky relationship. I'm like, okay, she's a high school girl with her mom. What else is new? Yeah. She also said Allie struggled with borderline personality disorder. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with being dangerous. That's just what Conway said and alluded to. And it's all circumstantial stuff. And Allie did have a confirmed alibi the day of the murder. She was at school.
She was at school.
Yeah. Easy to find out.
Yeah.
So she was at school all day long and was there until Conway picked her up that day. So pretty much Allie's the only person with a rock-solid alibi. And Madison called the school and everything, and she does have an alibi. And Madison had to do a lot of badgering to the police department to get answers and never really got much from them. They weren't very helpful. He said, "Not to slander them, but Connecticut is one of the worst states for transparency with law enforcement. The crime lab there was one of the worst in the country in 2010. They had something like 4,000 backlogged cases. In 2011, they lost their accreditation."
Whoa.
Yeah, not good. But through a Freedom of Information Act request, Madison finally obtained key documents related to his mother's murder. In October of 2020, Madison was granted Barbara's case file, and he and his team began reviewing it. It's like 1,600 pages.
Shit.
Yeah. So he has set up a tip line, BarbaraHamburgTips.com, in the hopes viewers will come forward with more information. So that's where we're at right now. It's still a mystery, but it's almost like too many people that could have done it.
With no evidence.
Yeah, exactly. It's wild.
I've never heard this case.
It's such a good documentary. And especially knowing it was like a young college kid that did it.
I can't believe there's no like Dateline or anything, which there may be.
Well, yeah, there may be. I didn't look, to be honest.
There's so many of these types of shows now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe there is.
I'm going to have to watch this documentary. This is very interesting.
It is, because the gifting table thing, it's like, what?
Right. There was no murder weapon found, you would have said. You didn't say.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think so.
Because they would have fingerprinted and all that stuff. Because listen to me, because I'm a fucking cop. Just kidding.
Well, and Madison didn't even know there was DNA at the scene until later on when he talked to the cops. And they're like, oh, we found DNA. It's just, like he said, they weren't transparent at all. And he said they didn't even know about the
call.
Call, yeah. So it's just a complete mess. It sounds like it really wasn't investigated, almost.
Well, I mean, here's the thing with cases like this is you may be investigating, but you don't really know where to start or how far to go. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're, like you said, it's a pyramid. It trickles down. It goes from 1 to 2 to 6 to 10 to 30 people. And
yeah. I personally, I mean, this is just speculation, obviously. I think it was likely somehow his dad, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
He had by far the most to gain.
Yeah.
By this.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do it himself? I don't know that he did it himself.
Right.
But it wasn't a seasoned hitman that did it either.
No. They would not get their hands dirty whatsoever.
So, you know, just speculation.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on the news and see if maybe.
I want another part of the docuseries. But anyway.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's. Switching gears, kind of.
Kind of. In December of 2021, 23-year-old YouTuber Lauren Smith Field was attending Norwalk Community College and studying cosmetology. She's your typical 23-year-old. She likes to hang out with her friends. She likes fashion. She likes traveling. She's single and on dating apps like all of us are. And Bumble is her go-to.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done Bumble.
Really?
Never.
I have. Why are you saying surprised? Well, because I don't know. I feel like – is it because you don't like asking or initiating? So if you don't know Bumble –
yeah.
The female initiates.
I don't like that.
My friend, blank, I'm not going to say her name, is married now, but they met on Bumble.
I have multiple friends, multiple meaning like more than five, that have met their husbands that way and have been married for years and have children. And so, I mean, I'm not yucking it by any means. So Bumble's her go-to.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to connect with a like-minded man, swiping, deciding whether to meet up. And she meets 37-year-old Matt LaFountain. So 3 days of online chatting and they decide to meet up. I feel like that's your typical what you do. So Matt is coming over to Lauren's apartment. They're going to hang out, get to know each other, eat some food, play some games. So he gets there, they're doing all the things, and they start watching a movie. They're taking tequila shots like one does. Lauren goes outside for a bit, comes back inside, and she ends up getting sick, like vomiting in the bathroom. Comes back, gets on the couch.
Yeah.
They're watching a movie. She falls asleep. Matt carries her to her bed, and then he lays down beside her, and he falls asleep.
Okay.
This may be a red flag for a lot of people. He was a stranger. Maybe he should have left. Some people think it was inappropriate for him to stay because she was passed out. I don't think any of this. I think that they've both been drinking and they've been talking for multiple days, which we don't know if it's been 700 messages back and forth or two, you know. She did get sick earlier, so maybe, and I'm just speculating.
Right.
Maybe he wanted to stay and make sure she was okay. Maybe he wanted to sleep off his tequila buzz. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure, but Matt wakes up around 3, goes to the bathroom, and Lauren is snoring beside him.
Okay.
He goes back to sleep. He wakes up around 6, and he sees some blood coming out of her nose. He tries to wake her. He notices she's not breathing. He calls 911 and the police and ambulance arrive. He led them to the bedroom. Lauren was lying on the floor when they got there. He said he was instructed by 911 to put her on a hard surface, start chest compressions, which is what he had done. He tells them her name is Lauren. He doesn't know her last name, but he pulls up her Instagram because her Instagram friends. He hands his phone to the cops. They're looking through. So Lauren was pronounced dead at 6:45 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
And she had been deceased about an hour.
Oh.
Police report is made. Matt says, we did not have sex. He was fully clothed on top of the covers when he laid down beside her. He just kind of passed out and went to sleep. He was asked about the day's events leading up to their meeting, and she said he had asked her for $40 to get her nails done earlier that day. Meanwhile, Lauren's family is trying to get in touch with her. No other reason besides they just talk to her every day, and it was unusual that she hadn't called them back and wasn't answering their phone calls. So they drive over to her apartment to check on her, and there's a note taped to the door left by her landlord saying, if you're looking for Lauren, call this number. Call the number, and that's when they find out that Lauren had passed away. They contacted the police department, who told them what happened.
So the police
did not contact the family.
Okay. I'm assuming they found out who she was.
Well, yeah. He was like, this is her name.
Yeah.
Here's her Instagram. I mean, you have her phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a code on it or what, but I mean, I don't know how all of that stuff works when there's no family immediately involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Like, if you're an adult and something happens and
And it's like, I don't want to bring up again what happened with my nephew. He was killed in a motorcycle accident. His phone was destroyed. But we knew.
Yeah. It's like your somebody, next of kin I don't know is who, supposed to be alerted.
Right. I don't know how they would get that information. And now that I'm thinking about it in retrospect, like, I don't know how my sister was
Yeah, that's contacted. The thing you don't really think in the time you don't think about how.
How did they even get my information to, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, that's when they found out that she'd passed away. They contacted the police department. They told them what happened. They said they had received a 911 phone call from Matt, her Bumble date, and that he had found her. Family asks police about this Matt guy. They tell him, Matt is not a person of interest. He had answered all of our questions and was not acting in any way suspicious. Coroner's report said there was no foul play. So the family's trying to make sense of all of this.
Sure, yeah.
There's no answers. They hire an attorney who says that the original detective disregarded protocol when he responded to the case by not properly notifying the family of her death.
So they did not know why she died?
The coroner? The coroner said that there was no foul play. Like, she wasn't stabbed. She wasn't shot.
Okay.
They're still doing their investigation, but there was nothing, you know.
It wasn't an obvious thing.
Obvious like, maybe thing. They're she wasn't running talks. Strangled. Yeah, things like that. So the family goes to Lauren's apartment to move her belongings out a few days later, and a new detective shows up while they're there, and he tells the family that he has been assigned because the last detective messed things up. So CSI arrives to the apartment that day also and takes a bloody sheet and a pill that the family had found. They also notice there is a big bloody spot on the mattress and streaks coming from it. Possibly where Matt had pulled her off the bed to do chest compressions. There's also a condom in her trash can with some semen still inside, two glasses, and a bottle of alcohol. Nothing had been taken from the apartment before this. This was a crime scene that had not looked like it had been processed at all when her family got there. I cannot imagine if this were my child or my sister how pissed I would be to walk in and see, what did y'all do?
You shouldn't be uncovering evidence.
Right. What did you do? You just took her body and left and put a note on the door?
Because for me, that would be suspicious because, like, let's say the family's like, here's a pill. If you go to trial or whatever, they can say they put it there.
100%.
So they need to process the scene before families roaming around the apartment.
But here's the thing. At this point,
what a mess.
They don't know that there's or still don't know that there's even been a crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like if you fall and hit your head, God forbid, they're going to come in and remove your body and leave. Mm-hmm. They're not going to treat your house like it's an active crime scene.
That's true.
So the police did take her phone, $1,300 cash, and her passport. They had not taken anything else, no glasses to test the liquid to see if she'd been drugged before the autopsy came back, nothing. But like I said, they don't know what happened. So I don't know the rules, and I don't want to misspeak on do you just treat the whole thing like somebody did something, or do you – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, my grandmother passed away at home, and they did not come in like CSI Miami and dig through her trash and take glasses people drank from. They didn't question anyone that was there. Yeah. I know it's apples and oranges because –
But, I mean, still, someone
right.
it can still be murder.
100%.
And if it doesn't get processed, people can go in after the fact and do whatever they want.
Right. Mm. So on January 21st, Lauren's family filed a lawsuit against the Bridgeport Police Department for $30 million. They said they were not contacted by the police of her death, and they provided the evidence to the CSI when they showed up, and it was 2 weeks after her death. Autopsy results came in, said she died from an overdose of fentanyl, alcohol, promethazine, and hydroxine, and it was ruled an accident.
Ugh.
Her family said she was not a drug user and very rarely drank. So I work at a hospital. My sister's a nurse. My mom's a nurse. Promethazine is Phenergan. Basically, it's a commonly used anti-nausea medicine. So maybe she took this when she threw up to keep from getting sick again. Mm-hmm. I'm just speculating. It also makes you very sleepy, which explains why she would have gone to sleep.
Oh my God.
That is what you took.
Oh my God.
When you had
that,
your stomach bug last year, Lacey.
I will never.
And it made you feel
dead, like, for 24 hours almost.
Right.
Oh my gosh. It was awful.
Right. So that's the medicine.
And I
that
took
she
half
took.
Of it.
Right.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Hydroxyzine is a brand name for Vistaril, which is commonly used to treat anxiety, insomnia, and nausea. It's an antihistamine, and it's in the same family as Benadryl, which Benadryl also makes you sleepy.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to mix Phenergan or Benadryl, or not Benadryl, I'm sorry, Phenergan or Vistaril with alcohol. So both medicines already cause sleepiness. So this is very dangerous. It causes difficulty in breathing and waking up.
Pretty much anything that helps you sleep.
Don't drink.
Just don't drink. Oh, man.
So this is all speculation. Maybe she took these medicines to keep her. Maybe she was feeling anxious, so she took something. I am a psychopath, ask Lacey, when it comes to taking medicine and drinking. When I was going through all my kidney stone stuff and on all those antibiotics, I would call Walgreens and be like, can I drink on this? Even if Lacey's husband, who's a doctor, would be like, you're fine. I'd be like, I'm going to ask a pharmacist. Yeah.
It's true.
Because of shit like this. It's I don't know. I don't regularly take
or
this.
Or mixing meds. It's so dangerous.
It's very
dangerous. Don't realize how dangerous it really is.
Because you're not used to taking medications. Again, we're speculating.
Right.
We don't know that this is what happened. Matt did not reach out to the family. Again, some people think this is suspect, but here's the
bottom line.
That's
kind of awkward.
This man does not know you.
Yeah.
He barely knew your daughter or your sister.
Yeah.
He did the right thing. He called 911. He performed CPR. He cooperated 100% with the police. He's probably freaked out as well.
That's a very awkward situation to be in.
And he liked this girl. He just met her, and this was the first time, and she died.
Mm-hmm.
he tried to save her. He couldn't. I mean, that must be hard on anyone.
Yeah. I am curious about the used condoms since he said they didn't have sex.
But here's the thing, and I'm not saying anything negative. I'm speculating. She's on a dating app. She's a single 23-year-old.
Yeah. I just mean, like, did it belong to him, you know?
Right.
I'm sure we'll figure that out.
So, again, like I said, I don't think it's a red flag that he didn't reach out to the family. I don't think it makes him suspicious. It would be
if he was a boyfriend or a partner, that's different. Right. But it's, like, literally their first date.
Right.
And it was, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of awkward.
He has an attorney.
Yeah.
Again, some people think that that's suspicious. I think it's smart.
Oh God, I would have, especially because it's a stranger, basically, immediately.
Well, and I feel like a lot of people have an attorney on retainer. I do.
This is reminding me of the night of the HBO show.
Right.
I mean, oh my God.
I have an attorney on retainer just because I know a million attorneys. If something happened or I was in a situation, that would be my first phone call is to this girl. Like, what do I need to do? This is a situation. Not because I've done anything wrong, but I think it's smart this day and age to have counsel.
Yeah.
You don't want to misspeak or, you know what I'm saying. Some are speculating that he hired the attorney because he lied about them having sex and they found the condom in the trash can. Again, doesn't mean it's his. They would have been able to tell if she was sexually assaulted during the autopsy, and nothing suggests that she was.
Okay.
Maybe she took the pills before he got there, and what she drank more, the medicine reacted in her system. Some people think maybe it was a laced pill, and she had no idea. Matt was never drug tested, so we don't know if maybe they both took something that night. But then again, why would they drug test him?
The fentanyl, I feel like, is the biggest red flag. Like, why was she taking that?
The other two, I'm like, those are common. I have both of those in my medicine cabinet at home. It's not a weird thing.
Yeah.
But the fentanyl is the one where I'm like, maybe there was something laced that she didn't know. Or here's the thing. I'm here throwing up and you're like, here, this is a Finnegan. Take this. I have tons of medicine that my sister has given me, or even when Max gets sick, some of Emma's medicine that my sister will run over to me to give to him. I know you're not supposed to share prescription drugs. Everybody does it. Calm down.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, that's what happened. We don't know. We're all speculating. And then also, why would she ask him for $40 for her nails when she had $1,300 in cash on her?
Yeah, that's odd.
There's so many questions. Why was the blood stain in the middle of the mattress and not at the head of the bed where her pillow was? Because that's where she was laying.
I mean, maybe he pulled her and then she cocked her head over midway because of the motion of pulling.
You would think that there would be blood on her pillowcase if there was enough to leave a spot.
If it was noticeable enough for him to be like, oh my God, her nose is bloody.
Right. Yeah. So now everything that was taken from Lauren's apartment had yet to be tested. This happened in 2021. I'm not sure what the holdup is. This was right after COVID, so I'm assuming there's a backlog.
Ugh, yeah.
Bumble had spoken out about the case as well, saying police did not ask them for any information or data or the correspondences between Lauren and Matt. But again, why would they? He's not a person of interest. He's been fully cooperative with the police, and you can't invade someone's privacy on speculation that he must have done something.
Yeah.
And those other Bumble users that he matched with or that she matched with, their privacy being invaded, they have nothing to do with this, but you're going to expose them. And I mean, I just feel like, what kind of precedence would this set for other dating sites if you know they could possibly leak your messages whenever they see fit? You know what I mean? Apple will not even give you access to his deceased loved one's account. And the whole thing with the Siri stuff and Google Home, there's all these privacy laws.
Yeah.
Like, they can't expose your private things, you know, conversations or text messages. Mm. This is a criminal investigation that's still open. They're still looking into this case. The family has paid for another autopsy. The results are not back yet. I cannot imagine what her family is going through. The police did not handle this correctly. It doesn't mean that Matt did it.
Right.
But, I mean, I didn't make a habit of telling my family I was experimenting with drugs when I was in my 20s. Just P.S. And I don't think I would if I decided to do that in my 40s. It's, I'm a grown up. I'm not going to tell my mom and dad. So
I know some people really feel like they know their kids. And I'm not saying they didn't.
No, I know what you're saying.
But just, you don't have to be a quote unquote addict or struggling in life to be drinking a lot.
Right.
To be, someone might not act any different to their parents.
Sure.
Maybe they're not addicted. They just recreationally take drugs or drink or whatever.
Right.
They're not going to be like, hey, I went to this party and I did some drugs.
Right.
And
no.
No, that's just not going to happen.
So the snoring he heard could have very well been agonal breathing, which sounds like snoring.
Like
it's also known as the death rattle. People making this sound sometimes.
Oh my God.
When they're close to death, this is what you hear. This type of breathing is not enough to oxygenate the brain.
Mm.
And also the throwing up could have been the opiates in her body not reacting well to the alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't understand why her landlord did not have her family's phone numbers or why he didn't call them.
Yeah.
And again, the police had her cell phone. We don't know if it was locked, but the fact that no one reached out to the family is messed up.
Yeah.
There is a bill being introduced in Lauren's honor that police must notify family members within 24 hours of their loved one's death. I know we all thought that was a given, but apparently it's not.
Mm, man.
So the family of Lauren has a GoFundMe if you would like to support them. We'll share the link. There's a lot on social media, TikTok, YouTube about this case, and a lot of people are saying that the police are covering something up. Race has been brought up several times. Lauren was a woman of color. Matt was a white man or is a white man. Bottom line is this family is hurting. They have no answers. They've lost their young 23-year-old beautiful daughter, and it's just very sad and tragic. So it could go, I mean, either way. Like, we just don't. There's too much. There's too much.
I'm looking her up right now. I always like to see pictures of people involved. She's beautiful. I mean, I know that's not important, but I'm just saying.
It's just so easy to jump to conclusions, especially when someone's young.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is they don't have proof of anything nefarious happening. You know what I mean? They're...
Uh-huh.
This is not Law and Order SVU. It's not CSI. Doesn't mean that she was murdered because something happened.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be an accident. You know, we don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's really tough. Mm-hmm. And how can you make a case? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it feels too late.
Right.
Ugh. I'll go down this rabbit hole later.
Was the eclipse everything you dreamed of?
I wrote notes talk about eclipse. It was cool. I mean, you know.
Did
I was
cry?
Here. No, I didn't. I was here I by did. Myself. Oh.
I cried.
Did anything exciting happen? It was just
I mean, we went to Hot Springs. We got out on the boat. Uh-huh. And the water bubbled. It
what?
Was really fucking weird. And
wait,
I was like,
what?
This is it. This is it. This is how it's going to happen. The water, the land, the water is cracking. The land is cracking under the water. It's going to suck us all. There were tons of bubbles, like little bubbles.
Oh.
Of course, Max's dad was like, the fish are freaking out. He just antagonizes me because he knows I believe everything. No influx of people.
Yeah, it was.
Which is nice, actually. I know people are disappointed, but.
Yeah. I was thinking, okay, the traffic's going to be terrible. I didn't get out. I had no reason to, but no.
No, it wasn't.
Samuel left for work super early thinking, no traffic. He's like, why am I early? I'm never
work
early.
At 6 a.m.
I mean, I went outside, had Anders. Obviously, he didn't watch the eclipse, but I'm like, oh, cool. The cats were hanging out. They didn't do anything weird.
Did it get super, super dark here?
I feel like not as dark as I was expecting.
Okay.
I think I had really high. I thought it was going to be just like freaking dark.
Right.
Blackout. No, it wasn't that dark. I mean, there were chirpings and it was kind of, it was cool.
It was cool.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I'll see it again in 20 years.
I got a little teary-eyed just because Max was so excited and was like, oh my gosh, this is so neat. So I was like, And then he said, well, the next time we watch this, I'll be in my 30s. I'm like, I know.
Anders will be 21.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, no.
Max will be in his 30s. And so he was trying to figure out how old I'll be.
Oh, you're like,
and
no,
how old
don't.
His dad will be. And I'm like, your dad will be dead. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
You're like,
don't do that math for your father.
His dad's like, you're a bitch. And we had a laugh. Yeah. So that was that. We did walk around downtown and stuff in Hot Springs because we don't ever do that touristy stuff because why would we, you know, but
you're there,
a lot of people out there and they had a ton of Eclipse t-shirts.
Oh
and
my
posters,
gosh, they did here too.
And it was really cool. I didn't get one.
A gazillion booths with their own Eclipse shirts. I didn't get one either.
Because they were like $40. I'm like, no. Mm. I did want one that said I got mooned in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
That one's pretty good.
It was cute, but I'm like, not $40 cute.
Oh my gosh. I walked, I strolled over to Main Street. They were having a festival and arts and crafts, whatever. I went into a store to get some boba tea, a new little restaurant. And while I was in there, there was a woman. I don't know what her accent was. It sounds vaguely Eastern European. And she looked at me and she goes, don't look at it. And I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, don't look at the sun, even with the glasses. And I'm like, what now? And she's like, it's not safe. And
I'm like, Ashley, is that you?
Oh, my God. It felt very weird. And I told Samuel about it. I'm like, I don't know if I want to look even with the glasses on. He's like, oh my God, it's safe. I'm like,
let me tell
you. I don't know. She freaked me out.
When I took my glasses off and looked at it, because of course I did, you know, when it was all black, because you couldn't see with the glasses on. And then I was, after all of it and it came back normal, I was like, my eyes are kind of hurting. Did yours?
See, I did not look at it at all when it was. I had the glasses on, was watching it. I didn't look at it because I was scared of from that woman. I'm serious.
My eyes were
She freaked me out. And I was by myself. So I didn't have like a person to be like, oh, it's, I don't know.
If I freak out.
Samuel was like, what? You didn't take your glasses off? I'm like, no, I just had this woman approach me and warn me.
No, not a stranger.
It felt
not a
like
witch.
It felt like a, I don't know.
She was like an oracle.
It felt like that. It really did. If she didn't have an accent, if she's like, don't look at the sun. If she was Southern, I'd be like, oh,
she was
whatever.
Like, she was like, drag me to hell.
Something.
Oh, my. It was her accent. Eastern European accents freak me out. No offense to anyone listening.
No, I was just like, what? Oh, my God. Where are you from? Why are you here? You're meeting me. And then she was talking about, she's like, why are all the police outside? I'm like, oh, I think they're just, you know, here for the event, whatever. And she's like, they're not usually here. I'm like, no, it's just like, this is an event. Like, so they're like hanging out here.
I got to go.
And I'm like, okay, we spent too much time talking. I want to drink my tea. Get out of here.
Oh, Lord. Let's see.
The
let's
cats
see.
Didn't act strange. They were just like, whatever.
I mean, we drove home that evening. Max's dad stayed because his friends were in for New York. So they all stayed. But Max and I drove back that evening. We left Hot Springs about 6. There was no traffic. I was like, man, this is nice. I was worried about it.
Now in 20 years, we'll know the –
we'll be like,
we'll know what to look for.
Don't buy into the hype.
Because it's crazy. It's coming right back through here again, just in another
– another angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see where there is a new E.T. movie coming out in 2025 that Spielberg is – it's all the same people. This was the first movie I saw in theaters when I was a little girl. I was like 3.
Drew Barrymore's in it?
All of them.
Oh
and
God.
I'm so excited. I go to YouTube. I'm going to watch all this shit. It's a hoax.
I hate that.
Fell for it again.
Do you know what hoax I keep falling for? Mindhunter coming back. I keep falling for that.
It's really not?
No, it's not. They keep coming out with these posters.
Fucking sick and tired
of them. Don't make hoax posters for shows we need to return.
Listen, okay? Mindhunter was chef's kiss.
I know. That's why people are like.
I don't know why they don't bring it back. Who do we need to talk to?
I know. I'm like, how can we have 1,000 seasons of
ER? Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I'm like, what show won't offend people?
Sex in the City. I'm fans of all of these shows, but I'm like, do we need 35,000?
For real, Grey's Anatomy.
Come on. Season 82.
Mm-mm.
So it was lies. It was a hoax, but I was real excited.
That's annoying.
Max was excited because we love E.T.
Yeah.
But no. I did watch a CNN special about the Space Shuttle Columbia that I just did.
Oh, well, that's a weird coincidence. Over.
Yeah, super weird. It came on Sunday night. It's called The Final Flight. Oh, and it was good. Man. It was more than I knew. Definitely have mixed feelings about NASA.
Ooh.
I think you can stream it on Amazon.
Okay.
So you should check that out if you're into space stuff, which I am finding out that I am. And I should have paid more attention in school. So I'm real mad at myself.
Oh my gosh. I still am convinced we didn't learn about space.
If we did, it was like 1 week.
I think we learned the planets and that was the only thing.
That's it. I don't remember all of the shit that I...
And then they kept changing the rules on Pluto. Is Pluto back to being a planet?
No, it's not. Nope. Did you not see my bracelet Max bought me?
They said it wasn't. And then they said, oopsie, it was. And then they took it back. They keep taking it back. But that's my planet for Scorpio. So to me, it's a planet. It has to be, or I don't have a planet. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
It's okay to be left behind, Lacey.
It's my planet, y'all.
Do you have anything to talk about before I dive into the cicadas?
Yes. We have a new patron.
Awesome.
So before I forget, we have Felicia N. from Alabama. And I just put her pin in. She's up there. She's the pink pin.
Awesome.
Thank you, Felicia. Thanks, Felicia. I'll send you some stickers soon.
Those are special stickers.
Yeah.
Stickers.
Yeah. And I watched a show.
What?
Yeah. It's not typically my normal kind of show, but I only watched it because it's set in Little Rock. Okay. Anyway, it's a new release on Netflix called Unlocked. And it's a docuseries based at a jail here in Little Rock. And it's an experiment. Instead of keeping them in their cells for 23 hours a day, they open the doors and remove the guards.
That sounds dangerous as fuck.
The prisoners, when they're announcing this, they're leaning back like, excuse me, we're all going to get murdered in here.
No, ma'am.
So they're basically hoping like by giving them more freedom, it reduces the violence because they don't have enough prison guards to keep the prisoners at bay. And I'm like, oh, dear God. So, and these are people that have murdered people, stabbed people, domestic battery, all kinds of stuff. So I haven't watched the whole thing, but so far the older inmates and the younger inmates are like against each other. That's their two groups. I'm like, yep, this is very Pulaski County.
No, ma'am. I mean, I put it on my list.
You get to meet the prisoners. I'm like, do I recognize any of these people? No.
I've got three things to watch now.
I mean, I'm not saying it's good necessarily, but it's interesting because it's here.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's cicada time.
It is.
I'm obsessed with these motherfuckers. We just talked about this.
Oh, my God.
And now
God.
More and more is coming out about this. And these little teenage tramps. So here's the newest. And honestly, I'm not surprised of what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
And I'm also not slut shaming.
Oh, no.
But.
Not a slutty cicada.
Listen, trillions of cicadas will emerge across the U.S. states this spring, dubbed Cicadageddon. Not only are more cicadas than usual expected, but some of them will be zombie cicadas.
We need a festival for this. You know how they went all out for the eclipse?
They do toad suck.
We need a cicada suck.
Listen, we need a zombie cicada. We're making the fucking shirt.
That's get your seems pen. Ugly. Like, oh my God.
These are infected with sexually transmitted fungus that makes them hypersexual. We also talked about this on the Patreon, Medical Mysteries.
Oh, so with
Yes. Yeah. It's that fungus. So the convergence of the two different types at once, the bugs will arrive in numbers that have not been seen in generations.
I'm Googling a picture of this cicada.
Matthew Kaysen, an associate professor of mycology and forest pathology at West Virginia University, says that both of these broods can be infected by this fungal pathogen called Massospora cicadina.
Literally, just pull up my phone to type in the cicada thing and look, cicada invasion. CMAP or cicadas will be in Arkansas.
Because they're listening, Lacey.
That's all.
Grab your tinfoil hat.
They're so freaking gross.
Okay, so here we go. Once the cicada emerges from the ground.
Ew. Oh, I'm about to puke.
Yeah. Once they emerge from the ground, they molt into adults, and within a week to 10 days, the fungus causes the backside of their abdomen to open up. A chalky white plug erupts out, taking over their body and making their genitals fall off.
Oh my God.
Girl.
I wasn't expecting that.
You do not want anything chalky and white to erupt out of your genitals, like, period.
What in the...
So the cicada continues to participate in normal activities like it would if it was healthy. It tries to mate. It flies around. It walks on plants. But a third of its body has been replaced by this fungus. So I know what you're wondering. Does this not hurt? How does he not know? I'm glad you asked, Lacey. The reason why they ignore this fungus is that it produces an amphetamine, which gives them stamina. So it's like adrenaline.
Oh.
So they basically popped some mini thins and their dick fell off.
This is weird.
So they have this hypersexualized behavior. They try to continue to mate with females, but unsuccessfully because their wiener's gone and is replaced by this fungus. So guess what they do? They pretend to be females.
What?
To come and get them.
These bugs are complex. This is just too much.
Listen,
this fungus.
This bug, he starts flicking his wings like the females do. So now he's acting like a girl. They can't mate with a female. So then they try to get the males to mate with them. So now they've doubly infected even more cicadas.
This is wild.
These are like club kids on X circa 1995.
This is weird.
And they're sweating and they just want to rub up against somebody.
Ugh, gross.
Male, female, doesn't matter.
Oh, man. I'm looking at a map and Texas is almost in the clear. Good for you, Texas.
So usually these male cicadas let out a loud humming sound that they played on their abs, like I told you in the last one. And this is what makes the females come to them.
The females
will flick their wings, kind of like popping your gum and flipping your ponytail in human terms. But since they can't make that sound, they flick their wings and act like a female.
Oh, my God.
So it's sexually transmitted, spreads like an STD. So this fungus produces spores on the cicada. And when the cicada dies, the spores fall into the soil and infect the cicadas that are underground, just like we talked about on the Patreon. So in the months leading up to them emerging all together, they're just like waiting there under the surface for the soil to reach 65 degrees. Mm-hmm. And that fungus is soaking into the ground and they are eating it or it's getting on them. And then when they come out, they're already infected. They don't even have a chance.
Oh, God.
I know. It's really sad.
If I don't see a single cicada, I'm actually going to be real mad.
Well, I feel like we're going to hear them and see them a lot, and it's going to be gross. So.
Well, at kickball last Sunday, our friend is dating someone new without calling names. Well, anyway, this guy was telling him about how the cicadas. He was talking all about the cicadas, and I'm like, oh, my God. Ashley just talked all about this. You need to listen to the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And our friend was like, did you listen to that? He's like, wait, what? He was confused.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I guest starred on their podcast as a cicada. And just the way he said it, I died of laughter. I'm like, oh my God.
You're like, no.
He guest starred as a cicada. I'm like, yeah, he just screamed.
He just played his abs.
Oh.
So these scientists are saying it's unclear how the fungus will affect other wildlife.
Ew.
Or humans.
Oh, God.
So,
my ferals will be going nuts trying to kill these suckers, too.
Well, and you don't want them to eat them if they have this fungus. He said he observed thousands of compounds of infected cicadas, and some of them could be toxic.
Jax will mess with the cicada.
And you don't want him to get
this.
So, I mean, we know a lot of animals are going to be gobbling these guys up, snakes and birds and pets, and they may be affected by poisonous zombie spores. So I'm just saying. People, they're saying, do not eat the cicadas. Don't kill them. If you see one that has this fungus, they're supposed to take a picture and share it with an online science community.
So that's if they're oozing the white.
If you see like a white on the back of them, like it looks like a fuzzy white
and
fungus.
And you're not supposed to kill it?
Don't kill it. Take a picture of it. And it says, share them online.
Evacuate.
No. With science. Burn your house down.
They're assuming I'm in some science community on Facebook.
This is it. This is how it starts. Two broods of cicadas are coming out carrying the zombie fungus. Animals going to eat them. Animals are going to become super spreaders. This is the apocalypse I've been fucking waiting for. We've seen it in movies for years. Mm. Also, I'm becoming more and more fascinated with cicadas and
science.
I can't
promise that if I see one in my yard, I'm going to let it just stay there.
You're not going to kill it.
I have too many animals.
No, you had a whole wasp nest for 100 years and you did not kill them.
I felt bad about that. I don't know. What if reincarnation's real and I come back as a wasp?
Listen, all I'm saying is I should have paid more attention in science class to space and bugs. So
we definitely didn't learn about cicadas. I can tell you that.
I feel like we didn't either. But here's the thing. We're in Illinois next week. I almost said last week. Next week.
Yeah.
Next week is our last episode of season 3.
Yes, it is.
And
so many episodes.
Patreon.
Yes, we're going to have a new episode.
Join twins. And I'm telling you, so much information.
We've kind of gotten science-y this year.
What in the world?
We're teaching the masses. Well, not the masses, just the patrons. It should be the masses.
It should be the masses.
I don't hate it. I feel like I'm in school again.
But you know what?
In a good way, for fun stuff, weird stuff.
This is fun. And also, I'm saving all of these that I've been doing for Max if he needs to do a paper in school. I'm like, you want to talk about zombie fungus? Done.
Cicadas,
done. Space, boom.
Yeah, that's true.
So what, your dad went to Georgetown. I'm the smarter parent now.
Do you know about this?
Did you know about cicadas and zombie fungus and your wiener falls off? No, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, after one of the episodes, I can't remember which, I was like, did you know that the guy in that iron lung passed away to Samuel? And he's like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, shut up. And then I left the room. I'm like, I swear.
Shut up. You're just listening downstairs. You had a glass against the ceiling.
Yeah.
Eavesdropper.
You wish you already knew about that. Give me a break. Whatever.
Anyways, goodbye. We'll be back.
Bye.